Good morning. It's really good to see the fine crowd that we have gathered here today. We're thankful for your being here, and we're especially grateful if you're visiting with us today. We want to welcome you and make you feel welcome among us, and we hope that you'll come back soon and worship with us once again if you have the opportunity. And we encourage you, if you have any question about what we teach or practice, certainly bring that to our attention. We'd be happy to answer from the Word of God why we do and practice what we do. We believe it's very important that what we teach and what we practice is based strictly on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we encourage you, if you have any question, please bring that to our attention. I want to talk with you this morning about a subject that I think is very important. And I'll start out saying that we want to think about a healthy lifestyle. Now, when I say that, probably, you know, immediately that may come to your mind, something physical. We think about, especially beginning around this period of time of year, doing things that will help us physically in our health. But what I want to talk to you about is spiritual fitness and growing and developing as a child of God in the right way, in a healthy lifestyle spiritually. And Christians are to grow and to develop in their ability to serve God and to be faithful to Him. And this process in the Scripture is called edification. And that's really what I want to think with you about in our study this morning, how we should grow and develop as a child of God, and things that will help us in that direction and things that hinder us. And we'll look at that as we progress in our study. Let me encourage you to open your Bible to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and let's begin by reading there in verses 11 through verse 15. And this, I think, involves the idea of edification or growth, as we want to look at and think about in our study. He says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ." Now, in this passage, he discusses the idea of edification or growing. He talks about various things that God gave in order that Christians who begin as babes in Christ and must grow up spiritually in Christ, into the head. The figure is that the head of the church, Christ, is perfect, completely mature, lacking in nothing. But we as individual members of the body must grow up to match the head. We're to perfect or be completed in our growth and development as a child of God. He has provided many things to make that possible and wants to encourage us in every way. Now, I want to begin by thinking about in what ways we actually are to grow spiritually. What does God want us to grow in? And we begin by thinking about a passage that's found in 2 Peter, there in chapter 3 and in verse 18, where he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." Grace is the unmerited favor of God. The more we grow and develop as a child of God, the more we will grow in His grace. The more we receive the gracious blessings and favors of God on our behalf. Without that growth, without that development, we will not receive those. Tied directly to that growing in grace is growing in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is something that is done, again, by each and every one of us on a personal level. I cannot grow in knowledge for you, nor can you grow in knowledge for me. None of us receives knowledge in the manner in which it was sometimes given in the New Testament, where there were those directly guided by the Holy Spirit in their knowledge and of the Word of God. But you and I today get it in only one way, and that is by our study of God's Word, hearing the Word of God, or reading and studying the Word of God. We will grow in knowledge. It is certainly true that just as we are growing physically and maturing through the years, that we will grow spiritually if we grow in knowledge. Knowledge, of course, is in fact where our faith comes from. Romans 10:17 teaches us that faith comes through a knowledge of the Word of God. So if I'm to have a stronger faith in the coming year, and if my faith is stronger now than it was a year ago, it's because I'm growing in knowledge of the Word of God. I am increasing that knowledge and understanding of God's Word, and that will build and strengthen my faith personally. And so each of us should continually be feeding ourselves spiritually with this knowledge of God, that we may grow in His grace and that we may grow in His favor. And as we grow in grace, as we grow in knowledge, we will also grow more in Christ-likeness. This is God's will for us. We are, again, to grow up into the head. The head is complete and mature. We are the immature part of the body. We are to grow up into Him. We are to admire the head, to admire and notice the glory of the Son of God, and strive to put on in our life the characteristics that we see in His life. This is a way we are to grow. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says in verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." Now stop there for a moment and think about what he is saying. The mirror here that we are looking into is the Word of God. The mirror is reflecting to us the greatness of our Lord, the glory of our Lord. We look and behold the characteristics of God's own Son. And we're told that He was God with us. The term Emmanuel means God with us. And Jesus Himself said to His own disciples, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." So think about that. We can see the glory, the characteristics of God. The more we grow in our knowledge, the more we read about and study and learn of the life of the Son of God, we see the greatness of His character. And it is reflected to us in the mirror of His Word. And as a result, we are to be changed. We are to be transformed into the same image that we find of Him, from glory to glory, just as He said, as by the Spirit of the Lord. So again, why do we need to study the Word of God? Why do we need to learn more about Jesus? He left us footsteps to follow. He left us traits of character that we are to emulate and to put on in our life. And that's a manner in which we are to grow. And again, as we grow more in our grace and our knowledge and in our characteristics of Christ, we will grow closer also to one another. We made that point in our Bible study period this morning, emphasizing again that our fellowship and relationship with one another on this earth affects that vertical fellowship that we have with God. The closer we become to Him, the more we become like Him, the more we will grow as well in our love for one another. 1 Thessalonians, Paul, through the Spirit, wrote these words in chapter 4 and verse 9. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." What Paul really is telling us is, this is not a new commandment. This is not something that you have not heard before. And it's true for all of us. We have heard many times about the teaching of God's Word for our need to have a strong love for one another. But we all continually need to be reminded of this. And furthermore, he goes on to say, "We urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." This is not something that you and I can get to a level and you can say, "Well, you know, in 2017, I finally got to the level where I love my brothers in Christ
all that I need to. I've reached that level. I have arrived. We will never get to where we can say, we don't need to work on this anymore. We don't need to grow more in this. We can't be too close to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, or love one another too much. This is something that we will always need to be looking at and working at and striving to increase more and more as God has taught us and teaches us the importance of this, and that without it, we really cannot have the relationship even with our Heavenly Father or the Son of God that is what it should be, unless we also have the love for one another that we should be. So it's something we should be thinking about and focusing on and striving to improve in and to grow. And again, we learn how to do this from our knowledge that we gain again in the Word of God. He also teaches us to grow, to work, to lead a quiet life. A life that, again, is good for each and every one of us. This same book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this in verse 11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Too often, again, when we are really idle, when we're not doing what we really should be doing, we find ourselves minding the business of other people. Or we find ourselves, again, involved in things that are not good for us as a child of God. There really is something to that old adage that idleness is the devil's workshop. And here is the idea of this is what each of us should grow to do. Live a quiet life, minding our business, working with our hands, doing what God teaches us to do. And therefore, again, taking away many of the opportunities that we have for temptation and for sin. He says to grow in our ability to resist the temptations. Now again, we learn, or we should learn, even when we are tempted and we yield to that and we give in, we should be learning something. And we should get stronger even from the times that we've been overcome by the temptations of the devil, that we don't fall in that same way again, over and over again. There are things to learn if we're careful and if we're thoughtful, even in our failures. 1 Peter 5 says in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. One of the ways we are to grow is to be sober-minded. To be watchful, not to be caught in the same traps time after time. Because, he said, your adversary, the devil, he's watchful. He is out there. He's working. He's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What are we to do? Resist him. Steadfast. Grow more and more in your ability to overcome the wiles of the devil. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What comes our way, what we face, is not new. It's not unique to us. It's part of what Satan does in all aspects with other individuals as well. He said, but may the God of all grace, who called us to the eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. This is how God wants us to grow. He wants to perfect us, to complete us, in other words, to establish our strength and settle us. Settle us firmly as servants of His. Kind of that thought that we see in the very first Psalm where he talks about one who is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he sinks his roots deep, and he is strong and able to overcome what life throws at that tree. And so here the idea is that Satan is going to throw a lot at us. We need to be perfected. We need to grow. We need to mature. We need to be established in strength, in the strength that God can give us. And once again, this comes when we stop and think about it, all of this going back to that beginning thought of growing in His grace, growing in His knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, so that we don't get caught in the same traps of the devil over and over and over again. God's will for us is to grow. There are things that will promote our spiritual growth, that will encourage spiritual growth.
And one of those very important things is a healthy appetite. And when we do not have an appetite for the Word of God, we're not going to grow because we're not going to be feeding ourselves in the way that we should. We talked again some about that in our Bible study period. And the desire to come, to assemble together with the saints, the desire to spend time in the Word of God so that we're feeding our souls just as surely as we feed our bodies every day. And there is a desire for that. When we're healthy, we wake up, we're ready for breakfast. We want some food. And by lunchtime, we're hungry. And you'll hear people say, "I'm starving." That means they've got a strong appetite. That's a sign of health. There's something wrong if there's no appetite for food. And one of the most miserable things is for a doctor to tell you, "You've got to eat." And you say, "I just don't want anything." You know, it's not good when there's no desire for food. And it's not good spiritually if we don't have a hungering and a thirsting for the Word of God. Something's wrong. And as we made note in our class, there's a bigger problem that I'm just not coming and attending. If I'm not studying the Word of God and I'm not assembling together with the saints because there is a healthy desire there, I've got a bigger problem than just missing the service. He says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word." New mothers in the audience, do babies desire milk? Even in the middle of the night? Will they let you know when they get hungry? Is it something that unmistakably you're going to know they have a healthy appetite? "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word." Why, Lord? Why do I need an appetite? "That you may grow." That's how we grow. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." God has given us all by His grace the spiritual blessings we need to grow. But we've got to want it. We've got to desire it. That will help us grow. We're going to satisfy that strong desire when it's there in our life. But, you know, as doctors continually tell us, not only is a good appetite important, but good exercise, they will tell us, is important. And we understand, we know the value and the benefit of it. We may not do it like we should sometimes physically because we may not have that desire to get out and exercise maybe in the way that we should. But we don't deny that it's important, that it's how we grow and develop. And we've heard often that muscles we don't use, we end up losing the strength in those. They do not develop and grow on their own. It's because we exercise. Well, God understands that as well in a spiritual sense. Hebrews 5 says in verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe." We understand that babies will drink milk. Grown men should be developing to where they eat and digest solid foods and grow and develop because, again, of the proper diet. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What he's describing here is a Christian that is growing. Once again, he's growing in knowledge and in application of the Word of God. He exercises his senses day by day. The decisions, the choices that he makes, he measures by the Word of God. When he makes a decision, he tries to do what is right. He determines what is right by his study and his meditation on the Word of God. And so every day he is exercising himself spiritually and making decisions and learning and improving and growing. That's what God's talking about here. Rather than just going to church Sunday morning, closing his Bible, going home, not thinking about God or anything spiritually until the next Sunday morning. That's not getting spiritual exercise. That's not growing. That's not developing. That's not using our spiritual senses. 1 Timothy 4 says in verse 7, "Exercise yourself toward godliness." Now think about that. Exercise yourself toward godliness.
Exercise your soul, your mind with God's Word daily. Grow spiritually through use of your spiritual senses. Bodily exercise profits a little. If you want proof from God's Word that it's good to exercise, there it is. Bodily exercise profits, he says, a little. But he goes on to say what is even more profitable and even more important is godliness that is profitable for all things. Not only the body, but for eternal life. It has the promise of the life that now is. Being a Christian and serving God will give you the best life you can have here, now, and of that which is to come. Finally, it will give you eternal life. But you've got to do spiritual exercises. You've got to exercise your senses spiritually toward godliness and strive daily to be a godly, righteous individual, which includes then the ability of using what you hear. What good will it do you if by this time tomorrow, everything we've said and learned and thought about today in these services is gone? And it doesn't have any impact in your life. It doesn't change behavior. It doesn't help you to grow and develop. Because you're not thinking about it. It's there and then it's gone. It's like describing in the parable of the sower, the seed that is sown that's laying on the ground and the birds of the air come and take it away and it brings forth no fruit. If we don't get some things out of our services and out of our study of the Word of God that we don't incorporate in our life, we don't take in and listen to it and change our behavior and start living different because of what we have heard, we're not growing. We're not growing the way God wants us to. We've got to take it in and listen to it, meditate on it, and make the needed changes in our life. In Hebrews chapter 2, he talks about this in verse 1 and in verse 3, when the writer says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. That means not being a forgetful hearer, not just hearing it, dismissing it, going on, and continuing the way I've always been. We've got to give more earnest heed, careful attention to what we hear. Why? Otherwise, we drift away. We do not grow better, we drift away. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? It started out with the teaching and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Then it was confirmed later by the miraculous revelation of God's Word to the apostles who confirmed it with their miraculous works. He's saying this is God's Word. We've got to pay attention to it. We've got to give earnest heed to it and put it into practice in our life. Otherwise, we're not growing. If we just hear it, forget it, and go on and continue in what we've been doing with no change, no development, no growth. I should be a stronger Christian now than I was 6 months ago or a year ago. I should be greater in my knowledge and understanding. But if I just let it go, I don't meditate on it, I don't remind myself of these things and bring it back to my memory, I soon will lose it and I gain nothing from it. Heed what we hear. Pay earnest attention to it and make the needed changes. And then another thing that will certainly promote my growth and the development of my relationship with God is my prayer life. And what I'm told again in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6 is be anxious for nothing. Don't sit around and fret and worry and be, you know, over anxious about things I have no control over. But rather in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is very understandable as human beings, when we face many difficulties and problems in this life, to realize how easy it is to be anxious and to worry about them.
But what he's telling me is how to grow and develop through time to where I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not anxious about everything. I'm not fretting. I'm not worried because I'm growing closer and closer to God. I have an outlet, a place that I can go to cast my cares and my worries on Him and leave them there. And I have precious promises from Him to guide me and to guard me and to guard my heart and mind. But I don't even know about those if I'm not growing in knowledge and understanding and wisdom and more learning about this God and learning about the Savior. The more I learn about Him, the more I trust Him, the more I can overcome the anxious and worrisome things in my life. But now, on the other hand, just as there are things that promote spiritual growth, there are things that will prevent it. And one of the first things is hypocrisy. When I know in my heart that I'm not what I profess to be, when I know that there's secret hidden sin there, it's like pouring water on a fire. There's no zeal there. There's no desire to serve God. When I know that I'm covering up and hiding sin in my life and not dealing with it in the way that I should, it will stop growth in its tracks. It will send me back the other way. 1 Peter chapter 2 says in verse 1, right before the verse that says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, before that he said, lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Because if you do not empty these things out of your heart, you will not grow and develop as a Christian. These are poison to spiritual growth. They will cause you to lose your soul. Malice is anger that has set and remained there in my heart, and it develops and festers and grows and takes me further and further away from God, not toward God. He said, get rid of all malice, all deceit, intentions to deceive, to put on a front, hypocrisy. Play acting, not really serving God. Maybe even play acting in the supposed love that I have for other brethren. Just putting on a fake or a feigned love, not a real, genuine love. Get rid of hypocrisy and envy. Envy is described in God's Word as the rottenness of the bones. If you've got rottenness of the bones, you don't have sound health. And if your bones are rotten spiritually from envy, you don't have sound health. You can't grow in that way. And all evil speaking. He said, put away these things. Why? They will stop you from growing and developing in the way that God intended. And then if you got a problem hearing the Word of God, you hear but you don't really hear it, that's like eating food that you can't assimilate. You can't digest it. You can't get the benefit of it. You take it in, but you don't gain anything from it. So a dullness of hearing in the Word of God, over and over, Jesus described those that hearing they hear not. Too many people, when it comes to God's Word, have selective hearing. They will hear what they want, what they agree with, what they like, but if they don't like it, they just dismiss it. They don't really want to hear it. They don't really want to be told what they really need to do to be a child of God. And then youthful lust is another thing that is described in God's Word as something to be put away. And obviously, this is encouraging us to recognize that even when we're young, even when we are first developing as a child of God, we need to be concerned about our growth. And we need to put away anything that's going to prevent us from growing and developing as a child of God. Nothing could be further from the truth in God's Word than the idea of sowing our wild oats in the day of youth. He says no. In fact, he teaches the opposite. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 says, run from or flee youthful lust. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. God doesn't give a pass to those who are young in the faith and those that are young physically, that they are to grow and develop. They also are to feed on the Word of God. And Paul told the young evangelist Timothy to set an example to others in his purity, his manner of life, his conduct, and so forth. And so once again, these things will stop in the tracks any proper growth that we would have toward God and righteousness. And finally, the problem of the love of money. Any of us can create and develop our own God that takes the place in our life of Jehovah God. And one of those things is when we fall in love too much with the things of this world and material goods. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says in verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." This again stops growth. It will take us away from God, not toward Him. So he said, "You, O man of God, flee these things and instead pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." God has given us various gifts to help us grow. We started out reading about those in the Word of God. And one of the gifts that He gives us and He gives to local churches is elders to watch over us and to be aware of whether we really are growing or not and to encourage us. We should be thankful for godly men that are willing to devote their time and effort toward watching for our personal growth and development. 1 Thessalonians 5 says in verse 12, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." They're looking for your welfare. "Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." He's saying try to make their work easier. Try to do what you should be doing. Try to live peaceably. And then he goes on to tell us in the 14th verse, chapter 5, verse 14. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all." This is the work of godly elders. God gives us that gift so that again, we can grow and develop. And then each and every one of us, we hold a responsibility again to each other. And we all need the accountability that we get that comes to each of us when it comes to our growth and development. We can encourage one another. We can strengthen one another. Or we can go the other direction. It depends on our actions and our attitude. Hebrews 3 says in verse 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." There's so much that God gives us in this relationship that we have together in the body of Christ. The greatest family on earth, one that will stick closer to us many times even than our own physical families, when it's what God intended that it should be. So again, He gives us elders, He gives us each other, and He even gives us the services of the church. So that what? So we can grow. So we can worship Him. So we can grow in our knowledge, so we can build our faith, so that singing together we can admonish and teach one another and sing praises to God together, so we can come together each week, remember the great sacrifice that God gave in the gift of His Son. We be reminded of that, be brought back closer to Him, so that we can study together in the Word of God, grow in our faith. God has given us everything that we need for this healthy spiritual lifestyle. Now the rest is up to us. Will we take advantage of it? Will we avoid the things that destroy our growth? And will we work on and add those things that encourage it? If you're here and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to make the choice, make the decision to become a child of God. Start your course of spiritual growth. And if you are a Christian and you're just kind of stuck and not growing, not developing, then you need to look at the reason why and try to figure that out and make the needed change in your life. You are to grow and develop and to get stronger and closer to God. And we want to help you do that. And it may be that you need to correct willful sin in your life. There may be hypocrisy or deceit. that you know you're hiding and covering up, and that will indeed stop you from your growth and development. Put that away. Put on the principles of God's Word that will encourage and strengthen you as a Christian. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, please come while we stand and sing to encourage you.